Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 124. 125 for the Compound Podcast. It's presented by Parsley Rum. I love Parsley. You love Parsley. Maybe Dakota put Parsley in his coffee. Just kidding. He's got a game tonight.
I did not.
Usually, Athletic Greens. No free ads.
They are
not paying for an ad this week. Usually we're recording post game. Usually we got some zombies after a long nine innings in the show, or a quick nine innings if you're not in the show, because apparently they're flying.
How about this though? Sunday, you talk about quick games. We had a 13-12 game. It took 3 hours and 50 minutes on a getaway day.
3 hours and 50 minutes. That's going to mess up their skew.
I saw that and I was like, please don't tell me Dakota threw in that game.
It got to the point where I was like, you know, I'm good. Like, I'll take another day. You know what? It's all right. Somebody else could throw. No, I did not. I did not.
Because they tweeted it and I was like, oh no, please no.
No, I was not a part of it.
So back to what I was saying.
Sorry.
We are doing a morning recording. We all have our coffee. Some of us have green stuff that we won't talk about unless they're paying. Oh, and coffee. Double. A lot of liquid going on over there. We got some things to get into. I am in Toronto. Hey.
We all on the road? Or is Zach at home?
No, I'm home.
Zach's home. Dakota's in Columbus.
Correct. Your home state, some may say.
It depends.
No one really knows.
It depends which day of the week it is.
Yeah, no one really knows. It might be Ian's home state.
Yep.
I know that you're a Spartan and you don't like anything else, but Ohio State Notre Dame with a day game
on Saturday.
You don't have any interest in even experiencing. Maybe you want both teams to lose,
Ian.
Okay?
Ian has
a shirt that Ian. I hope both teams lose, but you don't even want to experience the festivities?
May I speak?
Yes.
You ready? You ready for why I don't want to experience it, Ian? Because I've been here before. I've came here for a game. I've been to the Horseshoe or whatever it's fucking called.
I've gone.
I paid $200 to go watch the Spartans play him. And guess what the score was at halftime? 35-0 Ohio State. And there was an old lady above us, and she'd bop us on the head with a program every time Ohio State would score. So, no, I won't go back in that fucking place. I fucking hate it. No.
Well, I appreciate that you have a reason why you don't want to go.
Yes, that is. I think it'll be a great game, but no, I will not be going back in there.
We're going to welcome in friend of the pod, Jan Gomes. Jan has been listening to the pod for months, actually, maybe since spring training. So I think he actually knows Zach and Dakota and Tom probably better than most of our guests when they come on for the first time.
100%. Welcome.
Am I live?
Yeah, we're live. We started the recording and now we're right into it. So you're into the fire.
I'm starstruck right now. I'll be honest.
This is a
great
honor. You're a big
podcast
guy, huh?
I'm a huge podcast guy. I love it. Got to listen to you guys do it. Seen some legends. I'm very nervous about this, to be honest with you.
Speaking of legends, John, you just completed 10 years of service, correct?
That is right. I am the very old guy here. Yes.
Oh, hats off. That is incredible. Congratulations.
Well, Jan, well, thank you, is man. Actually,
I appreciate that.
Jan's now the oldest guy on the team.
Oh, yeah.
I realized that. Is Wade older, or are you the oldest guy?
Wade's older by a couple months, but right now on the active roster, I am the oldest guy on the team. So,
wow.
So listen up, okay? You know, I got some wisdom to share.
How weird is it after we're back in Toronto? You started here. You got called up when you were 23.
23, 24.
Yeah.
24.
And now coming back, being the, you know, 10 years vet on the team, like that happens quick, but how crazy is it to look back on your time here and just how far you've come?
So I was actually sitting with their travel secretary yesterday. His name's Mike Shaw, and we're hanging out. He's like, hey, how old are you now? I was like, well, I'm 35. I'm the oldest guy on the team now. And he's looking back, and he's like, wow. I was like, I don't know if that makes, you know, hey, look, I'm old or you guys are old, because he was here when I was here. So, yeah, it happens really fast. I'm still waiting for my Toronto tribute video. It still hasn't happened, but they had a good one for Stroman last night.
Stroman got the tribute video. Jan actually got a really cool one in D.C., but he said after leaving Toronto, they never gave him one. It's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a soft 1 year here. So, but they might give me a minor league one more than a big league one.
Did you get one in Cleveland?
It's a very good question. No, that one, wow. Really, that one really upset me. I mean, I'm over it, but I got traded from Oakland, from DC to Oakland. So it happened like very quickly. That's the only excuse I'm giving them.
That's
like
crazy,
a 2 week prep. Yeah, it was a 6 years in Cleveland. Pretty sure I got to play against Short in his first. I think I do remember him playing there with Detroit.
Yeah, we played you guys in Detroit last year. Yes, It's funny. I when Ian told us you were coming on, I was actually talking to Scott Efros too, and you know he's a big fan of Jan Gomes. And I said, hey, how do you think he'll respond? Or A, do you think he'll remember by chance that I walked up to the plate when he was catching? And B, I was like, you know, I said hi to Jan, and he wasn't, you know, all, you know, giddy and smiley. I was like, hey, Jan, you know, how you doing? He was like, hey. I'm like, oh, all right. Good luck. Ooh. Go get him.
Well, that's I apologize for that. I usually don't take my at-bats to the plate, but that must have been on the second round, that must have been a bad feel on your part. Shook out with bases loaded, and you're worried about your debut. How selfish of you!
No.
Well, I do apologize. Next time, I'll make sure to get up and give you a hug.
A little Morel hug the catcher.
Morel, the friendliest guy in the league.
Friendliest guy in the big leagues.
They were – I actually saw – speaking of that, I saw a clip on Twitter this morning that Dan Schulman was going through Morel's, like, not antics, but, like, his routine. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I was briefed that Morel is the nicest guy in baseball. He'll say hi to everybody on his way up there. And, like, as he's doing it, he says hi to the catcher. The umpire takes his hat off to the pitcher, and he's like, oh, there it is. And it was just perfect timing.
It's every time. It's consistent.
Hap, have you guys talked to Assad much? He's also the nicest guy of all time.
Assad is very, very nice. He's been pretty quiet.
Does he make you nervous on the mound every time he like twitches his elbow? Have you noticed that yet?
Yeah,
After like every pitch, yeah. He literally like shakes out his elbow.
You know,
wow,
what else?
That is so funny. I noticed that the other day too.
I saw him in his debut. Like third, fourth, and fifth inning, putting hot stuff on his arm, not underneath, just in the dugout. Didn't care.
Putting red hot on?
Red hot, right, yeah. In the dugout. He had his own little bit of red hot, and he was just lathering it on. Like this guy's ready.
He cannot feel it.
I'm just glad he put the gloves on. He put the gloves on, started rubbing it in, and started cracking his elbow. And that's kind of funny, Dakota. I noticed that it was like in the start of the fourth, and he's starting to do this. I'm like, oh my god, seriously, this guy's gonna pull the shoot right now on us. And like,
we literally had our trainers tell PJ, be like, hey, just so you know, like, he's not hurt when he does this. Like, he does it all the time. Because I'm like, I watched him one time warming up, and I was like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you keep shaking out that elbow quite a bit. But it's just like a little, like, twitch he has. He does it all the time.
Dakota, we just got two new players. Estrada and Little.
Yes.
I
lived with Little.
As a fellow pitcher, mm-hmm. Estrada said you guys are boys too. Would you like to give us a scouting report on our two new additions? Well,
I call Brendan Little Zach Britton because he's quite literally Zach Britton. He throws 95 mile an hour sinkers and then a wipeout curveball. Yeah, it's gross.
Are they active?
Estrada will be today.
Oh, wow. That's
per Twitter. Ooh, per Twitter.
Breaking news.
That's per Twitter.
Breaking news.
That's per Twitter. And then Estrada throws invisible balls at 99.
He has like he throws 22 inches of vert from what I remember.
He throws 96 to 98 with 22 inches of vert, and no one ever hits it.
Can you explain to the listener what 22 inches of vert is? Because I don't think that's hitting.
It's more so something you guys can explain as a hitter. Like, you see it differently. Like, you go ahead, Zach, you say it.
I just know I'm in trouble when I see on our scouting report that anything over 17 and a half inches of vert, which means it's going to play like it's – obviously, it's not going to rise, but it's going to play like it's – the ball is rising, and you have to really match the plane. And, like, it's really difficult. That's what all – like, for the listeners, like Gerrit Cole, Verlander, all those guys who throw the heaters at the top of the zone. Obviously, Jan, you catch these guys pretty regularly mm-hmm. who have that, I'm assuming. You can tell a difference. Like, when people say, like, oh, my God, how are they missing 95 right down the middle? It's because it's appearing like it's 4 inches lower than it really is.
Higher.
So, yeah, a good way to explain it is like, you know, when you take your first swings off an iron mic, like, it's shooting fastballs and you're like clicking it up. That's the only way I know how to explain it, that it's not coming back down. It's just staying pretty straight. But the whole vert thing, I only heard about this, the numbers last night,
to be really
brutally honest with you. Toronto
has vertical break on the.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that Jordan Romano for them comes in, and me and Drew Smiley are sitting next to each other looking at it. And he throws his heater, and it says, what was it, like 17.8 or 18 something? And then I'm like, is that supposed to be good? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's like elite fastball. That means it's not coming back down and blah, blah, blah. And he said he gets a positive vertical break on his curveball.
I was
if you know, like, Smiley throws like a reverse kind of curveball, and sometimes it registers as a changeup.
Sometimes he throws a curveball, and sometimes he throws a curve change.
Yeah, it's like it like spins around, and it just messes with the hitter's eyes. And
what the?
Yeah,
and we're supposed to hit people who throw slider spin but move the opposite way.
What is it exactly? Like 18 and up is good on vertical break. I think
like 17 is like, or 16 and a half is league average or something like that. And I'm pretty sure Estrada has like 20 or 22.
It's 22. I was watching in the dugout the other day, and it's 22.
Oh, wow.
So I'd like to see that.
I saw a tweet. He has struck out 40% of the batters he's faced this year. I think that's pretty good.
Shoo. That was the big issue with the sticky stuff, with the sticky icky, was that guys were getting uncumin amount of vertical break on their heaters, and it would never come down. Everybody's seen like a video of wiffle ball, or what's the thing that you do? Blitz ball.
Yeah, we blitz do blitz ball.
Everybody's seen like a video of blitz ball from John Boy Media, our parent company. We love them. If you haven't seen it, Tom edits them. Go watch. That's a little plug for the company, Tom. You're welcome. Where they throw the rising heater where it starts at the guy's shoes and ends up at his neck. That is basically what it feels like when a guy has 22-25 inches of vertical, as they say, vertical break, which is just a hilarious thing. Vertical break
It doesn't break.
It doesn't break. It goes up.
Yeah.
It's literally
basically. Yeah, the higher it is, the more true it stays. Like, no ball can actually go up, but, like, the higher it is, the more it's just staying directly on plane.
Like, last year we faced Toronto, or we faced Robbie Ray when he was going off, and he has – I'm pretty sure he has pretty high vert. And I struck out on a pitch that I thought was down. Like, I would have – like, if I was in AAA, I would have turned around in the ump, like, I don't know about that. Like, there's no way that's a strike. And on the iPad, you can see it the next inning, and it had, like, that much of the zone, and I'm like, there's no way. And you can just see the ball is just standing on a line.
Was that pre-sticky?
No, it's post. And yeah, it's a good
wait feeling. In the show, you guys have to wait an inning to see where the pitch was?
Not anymore. You can
Yes you do,
because we get it right away in our dugout.
You have TrackMan, Dakota?
Yeah, and it's mayhem.
Yeah,
the coaches look at it and could just scream at the ump, be like, "That's a fucking strike! Like, you're wrong. I'm looking at it right here."
We used to have that at the beginning of the year. You could see the next hitter. You know, you could go in and look at it, and then they put the iPads on half inning delay, so you can't see the broadcast feed for a half inning because that's what was happening. People are holding iPads up and yelling at umpires, and now you have to wait a half inning.
Yeah, could you imagine just standing there in the dugout like? Jim, I told you. Jim.
Jan, do you have any good ejection stories?
A good what?
Ejection stories?
No, I have never been ejected. But I have
such
been.
A nice
I
guy.
I just don't have it in me, man. Like, I have to sit with them right on my ear all the time. I don't have it in me because when I explode – I say things I don't mean, and I will, you know, go too far and then where I cannot take it back. So, but I have been on the, in a way, receiving end of a lot of, the guy that's catching, and then I have to get him pushed to throw into the game and, you know,
yeah,
those are a lot of fun. That's a very sore day the next day for me because the prepping doesn't go into it as much as I usually do.
I want to hear, before I ask you this, we need to talk about CSG. An expert and impartial third-party authentication and grading service for sports cards. They're a first-time compound sponsor here. Are you into sports cards, Jan?
I do have I am.
Well,
not like a major collector, but I'm listening.
Well, if you need to get them authenticated and graded, CSG is your company because they've consistently best turnaround times and pricing among leading third-party sports card grading services, okay? And they're backed by the same ownership and senior management team behind NGC, PMG, and CGC. The largest coin, paper money, and comic book certification services. So if you're into any of that stuff, csgcards.com. Get 15% or $15 off yearly memberships with code COMPOUND. That's csgcards.com. $15 off yearly memberships with promo code COMPOUND. Tom, nice work on that new sponsor. We're really making a push here. This question is presented by CSG Cards. Code COMPOUND. When we were playing the Cardinals the other day, you were catching. Mm-hmm. There was a called by the umpire over the top, one of these. Nolan Arenado, you swung. Did he swing? Probably not. Definitely.
If we pull out the rule book, by definition, which is the most weirdest definition, I think if you read it, it's like the attempt at a pitch. He did attempt at it.
So he does, some would say he didn't swing, some would say he did. Umpire, and he does not appeal it. He comes over the top. You swung. Nolan lost his mind. And Jan is back there. He looks up, and like got out of there real quick. What was your reaction when he came flying back holding suitcases and right in the ump's face?
Well, it, if you look at the video, because this surprises me really, because I mean, the ball is like 2-3 balls out. He goes and attempts at it. Luke Farrell's on the mound. They don't know how he throws yet. They're still trying to figure him out. It's a big moment in the game. It's like second and third. Nolan Arenado's up. I think we just somehow got Goldschmidt out the bat before. Like, these guys, like, it's the middle of their lineup. And ball down and away. I'm on the one knee stance because it's a big thing now. And I catch it, try to frame it, and then he attempts it. And next thing I know, it's, yes, he did. And I was like, and Arenado, the guys asked me in the dugout, what did he say? I was like, that's all I heard. I did not hear. So, and when the video's happening, he turns around, and you've seen Nolan Arenado blow up before. He goes absolute bonkers, man.
He gets
so I'm a little older, as we've already pointed it out. I'm the oldest guy. And I'm trying to get up from a knee to get out of his way because he is trying to absolute crush this umpire. You could see it in the video. I'm like, trying to quickly get out of the way. Like, go for it, bud. You do your thing.
Tom, you got to find that video because Jan's face, there's a moment where he looks up at Arenado and he goes, oh, and he gets out of there.
Nope. You're it.
It's so good.
Is there anything worse, though, as a hitter when the home plate ump says you went and it's like actually close?
It's funny because it's like, obviously the first base guy has a better view, but he's like 100 feet away.
Oh, I've had umpires literally tell me in the field, they're like, can you see that? I'm like, I mean, kind of. And they're like, see, I can't see shit. Like, I'm basically guessing. I was like, okay,
good. Well, enough. Especially in AAA, there's only three umps. So, like, if there's a lefty hitting, that guy's standing next to second base and he's out there like, I don't fucking know. Why are you asking me? Like, how the hell am I supposed to know?
But is that better or worse than the home plate ump, like, calling it? Because how can the home plate ump tell?
That's what, like, I don't want to get fined for, like, what Austin Hedges said or anything, but, like, same thing. Like, it's just, like, sometimes you feel like they just want to make the call right then and there. And you're like, why would you not just ask? I don't just ask.
Yeah. I really respect the guys that some guys say that they're so locked in on calling balls and strikes that they basically appeal every single one, unless it's like, unless the dude basically.
Yeah.
Like they're so, it's cause I've talked to some guys who are like, I'm so locked in on balls and strikes. Like I don't know. I just appeal every single one. And so I think that probably makes the most sense and is the most, I don't know.
They're far away, but they still have the best angle.
Right.
Yeah.
There are, from talking to umpires, they're told to make the call. Like, they want the home plate umpire to make the call. Wow. Whenever that happens, I know, whenever that happens to me, I turn around in such disappointment that maybe I did go, man. Like, the other day I most likely did swing against Devin Williams, but I just turned around and, like, I've been busting my butt so much back here for you. And you just freaking quickly ring me up, man. I'm like, give it to somebody else. So I'm not mad at you, you know? So, but I think they're, from what I hear, I hope it has changed. Cause I always feel like just ask. Cause I know when I'm catching, there's times when the guy goes to take the swing and I'm like, oh, like I don't have the best view of it, but you know, I always want them to check.
Yeah.
Just check.
Jan, speaking of
everybody happy. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, like speaking of, you know, talking to the umpires and working with them all day, do you ever feel like you have to be like extremely careful talking to the umpires, or like if you know they're having a bad day, when you're just like, is there a point in time where you're just like, all right, enough's enough. Like, I have to say something to this guy. It's the fifth inning. We're getting squeezed all day. But, you know, in the first and second, you're like, all right, I can't really say anything because I'm going to screw everybody else who comes into this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I have like the most like normal relationships that I can with umpires. I don't hold back. And I hope that they don't hold back with me either. I try to have as much honesty conversation as I can with them. Some umpires even rely on me to tell them whether it was a strike or ball. I'm like, you know, that I think that's like a pitch close, but I'll let you know. And when I do let them know, I'm like, hey, that was like, it might be a strike in your buffer zone. You know, I'm sure we've heard this plenty of times, but there's a lot of times where you have to kind of like guide umpires and not, no, I don't want to say guide them, but like let them know, like, hey, this guy's ball is moving a lot more. Like, stick with him, man. Like, hey, you know, he runs it back a lot. His curveball comes from up top a lot. Like, stay with it. Don't give up. Because the thing with umpires now, man, like, guys are throwing 99 mile an hour splinkers in 100 mile. Like, I don't even know what a splinker is. I think I just saw it on Twitter. Some guy from Minnesota throws 100 mile an hour sinker splitter. Like,
sinker splitter thing.
Like, those are hard pitches for umpires to make the calls. But that's why I say, like, there's a lot of umpires that I give a lot of respect to that they're still in the game and they can kind of make the calls right. You know, there's a high percentage of some tough calls, but I do try to give them, like, the most honesty feedback of, like, hey, man, like, there's some pitchers that are catching calls. Don't give up on them. And then sometimes I'm like, hey, man, like, do I need to get out of your way? Like, because you're not seeing – and these balls are right down the middle. Like, give me – let me give you a better look, and I'll try to, like, change my stance and just give them a better look.
And I feel like that's a fine line. Like, you can't be, like, like, rude, and you can't, like, say something as a strike if it's actually a ball, because then they're like, all right, this guy's full of shit. Like, I can't listen to him the rest of the game.
Yeah, exactly. They like, umpires now, they look at their games – way more than they used to be.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I'll go right when the game starts, I'm like, hey, let's be a little generous today. Like, you know, I got a guy that has to paint the corners. Like, we have a little feel of today's game, please. And
especially with where catching is too, like, you guys are such good receivers now, where it's like, that's such a big part of the game. Mixing that in with, like you said, 100 mile an hour splinkers, whatever the word was, like, I mean, it's funny I'm saying that now because I'm not in the box, but, like, that's fucking hard to do. And for the most part, those guys are really, really good.
Umpiring's the best it's ever been.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's the most accurate it's ever been in the history of the game, and it's just really, really hard. Jan, I have a question. Do you, when you're back there, do you feel like you're, like, when you're catching balls, do you feel like you're 99% accurate with what you think the call is, or are there times when you get back in the dugout and look at the video and you go, oh shit, I thought that was a strike, it was just off, or I thought that was a ball, it was right on the corner?
Yeah, from what I came up with as a strike zone, I'm like 98% accurate. And now, because there's a lot of times, like, we'll go and look and they have the, like, imaginary box. And I'll catch a ball, and I will, like, you know, like, you do the zoom in, and you're like, that looks like it's hitting that line. And then the thing is, like, on this side.
But it's coming back, like, this way. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, I would definitely go a little bit lower than 9, because I'm, like, a lot of times I don't realize that. So, like, there's times I'll, like, try to, like, really catch myself, like, looking at, like, where it's crossing the plate. But again, like you said, like, the balls are, like, moving way more than they have been. There's a lot of, like, throwers now. So, like, I would be set up in, and they just throw the ball, and it's, like, middle away. And I'm like, like, they're supposed to make the call on that. Back in the day, I say that's a terrible – I'm sorry. Find me for that. I know. Early on – guys would not call anything on, like cross-ups. Like, there'll be umpires like, you're not going to get that call. But now they're very adamant on, like, having to make that call. I'm going to pay a fine to the compound here for using that language right there. I'm sorry.
Is it weird now, like you said, like, there's a lot of guys that you're taught to literally just set up middle of the plate for? Is that, like, a transition almost? Like, I feel like that's got to be weird for a catcher. Because guys' stuff is so good, they're like, just set up middle and let them throw it. And, like, wherever it goes, it's going to be okay.
They tell me, like, hey, would so-and-so just set up down the middle, like, fastball? And I'm like,
what do you mean? Like, right down the middle?
And I'm trying to give it, I think Newcomb, I think one of our guys, like, he's, like, just – he's got a pump heater, big curveball. He's got a cutter, slider-ish, and he's like, there would be a time where I'm like, literally, like not like half an inch, and they're like, no, that's too much, just sit. I'm like, okay, I mean, If he yanks it, I got to be able to catch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because some guys, you know, if you set up down the middle, their shit is so nasty that either it plays like middle up, or if they miss middle to a corner, like that's more effective than trying to ask a guy to hit the corner and his stuff leaks back middle or off the plate. It's really interesting that like some of these guys, and there's times when I look at the video when I'm hitting and the catcher's just set up middle and the guy is spraying the corners. And it's like, yeah. How are you doing that? How are you able to hit the corner while aiming for middle every time?
Yeah. And then they're like high target. They're like got a target over their head. And I'm like, you know, like hitters try to take a peek. I'm like, what is it? Like, this guy's got his glove way high here, man. Like, what in the world's going on? And then it's like a slider down and in. And he does this every time.
Yeah, it's so tough. Anytime anybody wins a World Series, obviously it's a special year. But 2019, you know, you guys were, I don't want to say the underdog, but you weren't a favorite at all, right? Throughout the whole year, basically. When you either get to the World Series, you guys taste that, you know, you have a really good team. When does it kind of sink in when you're like, holy shit, we have a chance? Or is it kind of just when it's over, like, holy shit, we just did that?
I think it's all the above. So we started the year off, like, we were supposed to win our division. Our rotation was like a nearly a $500 million rotation. You know, we had Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Anibal Sanchez, and Joe Ross in the fifth spot. Like, we had a very good team, and we were underperforming big time. So that's where like the odds came out. Like, we were, you know, the big story, 19-31, 50 games in, and we try to, you know, have this conversation of like, hey man, like either we're all fired, we're all gone and we're not going to have a team, or like, you know, the go 1-0, like try to like just win one game and we'll worry about the next. And that was like some kind of magic meeting that after that, like we were, and I've talked to Hap all the time about this. I'm like, man, like we were just having a blast. Like we were, you know, going out together as a team, having dinner together as a team, like partying, like it was a blast. And then we were just so far behind Atlanta, we could not catch them up because they got hot as well. We couldn't catch them up in the NL East division. I think we ended up like a couple games back. We ended up having to host Milwaukee. And by that time, like, man, like if you gave us any kind of hope, our team, it was like, it was that feeling. You know, like when you're hot, like it does not matter. We could be down 3 or 4 in the ninth. Like if there's something, we're going to give it a shot and try to make a comeback. And that whole playoffs, like we were 5 elimination games, all down to like 6 or 7 outs.
The one like, against Brewers was nuts.
Dude, story couldn't have been better. Like, you know, the history of, like how that whole season went, we got, I think it's the 8th inning and Josh Hader's up and Juan Soto's up. It's like, these are the two perennial, like best players in the game at that time, you know, and Hader's punching out like 20 guys in the inning. Like this guy's a game. Like this guy's just like, if you put the ball play, it's a win, you know, and Juan Soto comes up and hits a bases loaded, which would have been a single at first, but we gave some extra money to our ground crew to put some stuff out there and put some
snake out there.
Yeah. And yeah, we ended up, and then that was just like the whole vibe in the world in the playoffs. Like we go and play the, you know, the heavy favorites in LA, and we were down like to elimination game, come home. We ended up winning and then, you know, go over there and take it from them in LA. Like that was a tough thing to do.
Didn't somebody hit a grand slam that in the was it game 5 or was it?
Yeah, game 5. We're down. I don't know the specific, but I know we're down. And well, so we're down 3-1 or 3-0. No, 3-1. And it was just a big story because they brought in Kershaw instead of, I think it was like Adam Kolarek. like a big sinker ball. He was owning Soto all postseason. And Rendon leads off, hits a homer off of Kershaw. So now it's 3-2. Next pitch, Soto comes up, bomb off Kershaw. So now it's like a tie ball game. And then later in the eighth or ninth, or maybe we might have went into the extra. Joe Kelly's up, and Howie Kendrick hits a grand slam.
Right, Howie Kendrick.
And that's when we were like, oh my goodness, like we did it again. And then it kept going. And then,
Jan, is Juan Soto the best hitter you've ever played with?
No, it's you, Ian.
Juan Soto is, yes. What?
No, it's you, back, Ian.
Hey, thanks.
The backside Ian is like the most, the prettiest swing I've ever seen. Like he'll take a backdoor curveball and just like pirouette out of the batter's box. And
one-hand finish.
Oh, it's beautiful. But to your question, Juan Soto is definitely the most mature hitter like I have ever been around. Like how he can work the zone, how much fun he's having. I don't know if I knew a strike zone when I was 22 years old. I'm sure none of us know a strike zone or know how he can work that game. This dude is doing it at such a high level at 23 years old, man. I wasn't this good in Little League when I was supposed to be the best player in the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, none of us were doing the stuff that he's doing. And he's doing it, you know, you can see video. He's doing it against freaking a Verlander in the World Series. Like, he's over there, like, trying to taunt Verlander. I'm like, come on, man. And he's all game, man. He's all game.
He's fun to watch. His ability to control the strike zone. I mean, you've played with some really good hitters. So you got Jose Ramirez, Lindor,
Michael Brantley.
Trey Brantley.
That's so much better.
Yeah, no, those guys, there's so many guys that are, like, just lengthen your lineup and make things like that. And yeah, it really makes me underachieve. I'm like, oh yeah, I played against those guys. They're so good. And I'm just like, just get on base, like try to get on base like every once in a while for these guys. They'll drive you in.
I have a question about pitchers, but before we get to it, I need to talk about Muggsy jeans. Muggsy's are the most comfortable jeans out there. You ever had Muggsy's, Jan? Did you get a pair of Muggsy's when they came in the clubhouse?
I didn't, man. I can't believe I passed on this.
You know what? I should have made sure that you got some. Maybe next time, because there's more room for everything in there. But they're stretchy, so they're a bit tight, but they stretch out where you need it. And they're my favorite jeans. It's all that I wear. I actually bought Shorty a pair of Muggsy jeans his first big league camp. Him and Nico.
I was friends with you. Yeah,
and then they said, nice job, Ian. Go to the bushes. I said, thanks, guys.
you want to be friends with them? We'll send you there with them all season.
Yeah, well, you can spend plenty of time with them. Muggsy.com, 10% off your entire order using code JOMBOY. That's Muggsy.com, 10% off, code JOMBOY. I highly, highly recommend Muggsy jeans. They're the best out there.
Zach, you wear them, don't you?
I do. I still have that pair that Ian got me.
Nice.
Jan, you've caught a lot of really good pitchers. Do you have Scherzer's most wins?
No, Alex Avila. He caught him through that whole time in Detroit, and they've.
Oh yeah, Detroit them, time. But, yeah. You have Kluber for a long time. That whole Indians rotation that was disgusting.
Yeah.
Couple years with the Nats, disgusting rotation. What quality of a pitcher do you think is like the most, when you go to catch a guy, you're like, this dude has it. It's really fun to catch that guy. Is it commanding the ball to spots? Is it just like pure bulldog, like psychopath? Like what's the most fun thing for you behind the dish?
I probably should just keep. So the bulldog mentality to me is like, because you know he's trying everything he can to, and I mean, Dakota's a pitcher. Like, if you have your best stuff every time you go out, that'd be great. Like, oh, yeah. Cool. Like, I'm throwing my ball exactly where I want. Like, this is it. It's happening. I'm getting everybody out. But that doesn't happen very often. And that's where those elite guys that I've caught, they wouldn't have that, but they would still give you six innings. And to me, that is like one of the most underappreciated things from aces that they do. Like, they'll go out there and, you know, you can tell like the first inning, like, hey, everybody's ambushed. Hey, let's just get through this one. And then they end up, you know, that ace mentality comes out and they end up striking out still like 8 to 10 guys.
Wasn't it Lester that said that? Like, five starts, you're going to have your best stuff. Five, you're going to have nothing. And then your other 20, you got to figure it out.
That was his skit. Was like, you're going to have five where you just absolutely dominate and nobody can touch you. You're going to have five where you get shelled and you don't make it through, you know, four innings and it sucks. And then the way you make your season is the 20, 22 starts in the middle. And you really got like, that's that bulldog mentality and like making it six, seven innings with two or three runs, like those make your season. And I always thought that was such an interesting way to think about the year.
No, from the pitchers though, like Scherzer, you know what you're getting out of Scherzer. He's just like, he just looks at you with those crazy eyes. You don't know which eye to look at, you know? he just already intimidates you. That whole staff in Cleveland, it was like, it was a young staff that I could kind of like, we could call a game with those guys. You had, at that time, like, you know, I'll just, you know, with Kluber, you know, he's short. Did you end up facing Kluber at any point?
No.
It's kind of funny because one of our guys here, Jim Adushi, talks about it all the time. Like, dude, you would get into a count, and then he was like, you don't know if he's going to run the 95 back two seamer, or four seamer up, he's going to go curveball down, or he's going to, you know, stick a backdoor cutter. And that's how it was. Like, it was so much fun catching him, because you could literally just crisscross one side of the plate and guys would be like, what in the heck? And then you're in the fourth with seven, eight punches, and you're like, you're kind of cruising to the game. He was a lot of fun. One of the more fun guys too was Pat Corbin. He, especially in that 19th season, he had a tremendous season. I knew it was going to be a lot of work because he would bounce about 80% of his sliders.
Yeah.
So whatever happened, I knew I was punching in the work clock today. I was like, I was coming in. I am working today. If I don't get a hit, I work today, because I knew I was going to be blocking a lot of balls, and guys would be, you know, it's always like left side. So left hip would always be sore after the game because I'm taking ball like everywhere. So.
Some dents in your chest protector.
Oh yeah.
Watching the World Series in 16, when Kluber, I can't remember what game in the World Series, maybe, did he throw game one?
So Kluber threw game one, four, and seven.
So the one,
talk about bulldog mentality.
Yeah. When he threw game one, I think you guys punched Coughlin's ticket like three times in a row, but it was on literally like nine hip shots. It was just like he was throwing sinkers that started behind lefties to the inside corner, and it was like nine in a row of like, oh, strike three. It's like, what is this pitch he's throwing? It's demented. That thing is insane.
Yeah, guys would come in, and so we got to face the Tigers all the time, and I was like, in that lineup, you know, you had Kinsler, Cabrera, probably shouldn't have started the names, now I'm going to forget half of their names, and Avila, and like, and they would all turn around and like, what is this, man? Like, this guy's cheating. I know, like, Cabrera, you know, he's one of the best hitters in our generation. He would, you know, he tagged him a couple of times, but even that was like, they're like, he's moving the ball. I don't know. Now the whole, what is that, horizontal break, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what a good one is. I wouldn't know.
Yes. Like when you're throwing sinkers, that's like the horizontal.
What's a good number on horizontal break, Shorty?
I want to say any, like Keuchel the other day was throwing, I mean, his, you know, he's not obviously what he was, but he was throwing like negative 15 inches, I think. So it's like on an X and Y axis, and it's just going like 15 inches that way or something like that. I don't know.
You don't care as much. You handle horizontal break. You care about the vertical break.
Yeah, you know, that's when I see the horizontal, I'm like, ooh, I got a chance today. I can go right in my loop.
This is me.
Right. Get some more on there, why don't you? But like when you see that vertical, I'm like, wait, so Jan, you mentioned Miggy, you know, being around him where it's like, you know, he doesn't really, I mean, I love paying attention. It's kind of tough now, like he's a little banged up, but he still has unbelievable at bats where it's like, could you imagine what this guy was doing in like 2010 through 2015 or whatever it was? And somebody like him, like those great hitters, do you even look at a scouting report, or you just kind of, you try to get in their head and fluster them as much as possible where you're like, all right, we haven't thrown this pitch in four pitches. Let's see if he's on it. I mean, could you, pretty much every area in that strike zone is going to be red, right? I mean,
no, absolutely. Miggy was one of the toughest guys because he was a big time inside out guy. So like, okay, you can just sit and live away, up and away, because he just puts you in, you know, backside freaking homers. And then, yeah, also it's a little bit different now, but like throwing inside to big time hitters, like not many guys could do it. Like, you know, you got Miguel Cabrera, triple crown winner, MVP guy, like, oh, let me just throw him heaters inside. And guys were like wouldn't be fully committed to it. So they will miss like middle in. Next thing you know, he's hitting the camera well in dead center, which that talk about a front row seat to some of those homers. Those are always interesting to watch. With Miggy, there's necessarily no setting him up because he was so into his swing. Like he never came out of it. He never really like tried to pull. He was a tough guy. Like during that stretch, it was tough. You just had to try to like scare him out of the zone. And he was a tough guy to definitely try to get out.
That's what you had to try to get him to hit 415 feet to center Detroit, and yeah, he's out.
Oh, at that, no,
keep him in center.
Yeah, except that, you know, you try to do that, and then you have him and JD Martinez going back to back on each camera well. They'll hit the one on the, you know, right center and the one on the left center. So it's like, okay, cool. Like, we're keeping everyone in the game here.
Miggy, it's crazy even watching him in BP where it's like he's so, like you said, in tune with his swing. Like, he'll foul three off into the right field seats. And he'll walk out like, oh, yeah, shorty, I'm there. And I'm like, timeout. What? Like, if I did that, I'm like, hey, throw me like another run. Give me like four more. Where he just knows what he wants to do, and he's been doing it for so long. And, like, he'll still, like you said, have those inside-out swings and just laugh all the way to first base. Where it's like,
yeah,
holy shit, he's 39. You know, his knee's all banged up. And it's like, could you just imagine what he was doing?
Yeah, I actually have a pretty cool story. We're facing in later on in the season, early on, when we had Danny Salazar. You remember Danny? I mean, Danny was your prototypical, just set up middle. This guy's throwing 99-101 with the football changeup split thing that he throws. It was knuckling. First two ABs, first and second, he punches Miggy's tickets. I mean, it is like boom, boom, boom. And then he's like, you know, you're feeling good, man. Like, you just punched his ticket on just your power stuff. Second AB comes up again. Boom. Change up. Boom. Punch his ticket again. So he's like, I mean, he's pumping his chest. Miggy's even like, oh, man, this kid. Third AB comes up. It's like seventh or eighth. We're really hot, right? We're trying to go split. It's like first and second. We're down or we're up one. Go heater. Boom. Punch. Like, strike two, next heater, 99, poof, hits the progressive car in right center field. And then you could tell, like, Miggy was, like, looking at him, like, you know, like, the whole, like, this is my house kind of thing. Like, he's looking at him as, like, this is the ones that matter, bud. And it was just, like, such a deflating moment where you're, like, how? Like, we just, like, he was nowhere near, like, hitting him. And Miggy comes up third at bat, puts him like a 2-3 run homer dead center off of Danny, and you just see like that deflated, because this game will do this to you. This game, like, you can hit a ball, like, do all these things, and then like you go out there and give up a homer, especially for pitchers, man. Like, he was having a great game, and then a 3-run homer, and it was like, he tucked his tail between his leg and just walks back in the dugout. Now he's like, he's got no story to tell because he gave up a 3-run homer to him.
When you watch dudes like Miggy Soto is a good example. Like, the most impressive thing to me when you watch those guys every day that are so consistent, like, they can get their ticket punched twice to start the game. And it's just like, all right. Like, they just keep registering information and they're like, I'm gonna get you. At some point, I'm gonna get you. And like, that's, I always feel like that watching Miggy or watching Soto or Vladdy a little bit. It's like that. It's like, at some point, yeah, you know, they're good enough hitters that you're gonna pop you, and just keeping that, they just, it feels like they're always confident going in there.
Yeah, when that back counts, those guys will jump in and, you know, get the knock when it needs to. And I mean, that's what makes them superstars. That's what makes them 300 hitters. You know, they can do that kind of stuff and make you pay.
Can we get to Sloan screen time, or do you guys have another question for Jan? I know you have a shorty has to go to the ball yard at some point.
I think I'm good. I'm good for a little bit more. If you got any more questions, I think we've hit a bunch of topics.
We're getting close to our hour mark where Tom's going to say he's not editing anymore.
Tom's pissed.
The Yankees stink. Oh, do you want to talk about the Yankees real quick? Let's talk about the Yankees before we get into Sloan screen time. What do you guys think about the Yankees?
They're screwed, Tom. They're screwed. I'm so sorry. You guys are done. The season's over. We might not even make the playoffs.
Speaking of great hitters, we haven't even mentioned Judge, and he just hit his 50th last night.
Well, seven games up. I don't know. The Rays are tracking him down.
And they got Scotty coming back soon.
Hope so.
Oh, my God. Judge hit 50. That's really impressive. He has to hit 10 in the last month to get to 60. He's only the third Yankee all time to hit 50 more than once.
Is that good?
That's really? Pretty cool.
That's a crazy stat.
That's pretty cool. Tom, would you like to say anything about your Yanks as you wear a Rays shirt as the Rays are tracking down the Yanks in the division? Oh my God, you're a traitor. What do you have to say?
I'm good. See you next week.
Whoa, Tom, are you waiting for another losing streak or what do we got? What, they win 5 games in a row and you tuck your tail between your legs?
No, and they lost 2 in a row to the A's.
Hey, the A's are a good baseball. Ball team.
It's baseball.
Okay.
Hey, that's you're the talking other thing. You're talking to Oakland A legend Yan Gomes right now.
A 2-month rental that didn't work out.
I guess, wait, time out. What do you got on the Coliseum? It's got some grit, I will say that, but whoa.
What do you mean, whoa?
I don't want to answer this.
No. I'm with
you.
Whoa is not a question.
I'm with you. Whoa. I mean, you walk down the stairs to the field and you have to walk through a puddle of like in the away locker room. You have to walk down
sewage.
Yeah. And I'm like, what guys, what's going on? They're like, oh, just a Coliseum, man. You just walk through it. I'm like, what do you mean?
Can you imagine making your debut as a visiting player at the Coliseum? Like, welcome to the show, bud.
Welcome, man. You made it. Congrats.
I'll be honest, man. Like, getting traded there is a massive surprise, but then like I gained a lot of respect for the guys there, like the way they grinded that team. Like we were on, like they were really good. You know, 75% of that team is not there anymore, I think, you know, so they're all like on contender teams, but those guys, man, like they made that clubhouse fun. Just think of the same way that you guys, I played on the visiting side as well. Like the same way we walked down, it's the same way the home side. So there's not really an advantage from both sides. But I know last year they took over the Raiders clubhouse. So you're talking about 50 something players, you know, like in the football, try putting 26 guys in there. It was the biggest clubhouse I have ever been in. Like you wouldn't see guys for a couple of days.
Like you see here today?
Yeah, like there was one guy that got called up. I didn't realize he got called up until like 3 days later because he's like tucked in and like in a different locker. Like the punters and the linebackers and the wide receivers, they're like in total different corners, and yeah, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't see guys until like, oh, hey man, I didn't know you were up here when he comes up to the mound.
It is true, like what you said, you know, like you give those guys a lot of credit where like I was pretty close with Robbie Grossman. He was really good to me, and he mm-hmm. came from there, and he said, I think they made the playoffs once or twice with them, and he was just like, they had that like just attitude where it was like, look, this is what we got and we're gonna win. Like, it doesn't matter, we're gonna have a really close locker room. Yeah, we might not have the Globe Life Field to go back to, but it's like, this is ours and we're still gonna win. We're gonna do it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, man, like other than like, you know, playing in a playoff game in the World Series, the Bay series where San Francisco and Oakland play each other, man, that is like one of the coolest events. Like, that guy's like, if you're like a fan of the game and stuff, like you need to go watch them play at the Coliseum. It was 52 some thousand people at the game. It was intense. Awesome. It was World Series kind of game. Like, you get a hit and they're like freaking out and stuff. It was insane.
We played there out of the break this year. We had a doubleheader just one day, and anytime Steven Vogt came up, the people in the outfield were beating their drums, still screaming like, we believe in Steven Vogt. We believe in Steven Vogt. And it was just like, Robbie was like, bro, they do it all game. This crew out in like right center, they're there every single game, no matter what, good or bad. And they are just an incredible fan. Like you said, 52,000 people for a Bay Area game. It's just insane.
Yeah, then 4,000 when the next team comes in. Like, on a Monday.
Let's get to our Sloan screen time. We're here in Toronto, and there's no Sloan flushers in the players' locker room, okay? But if you go to the coach's locker room, you can find a Sloan flusher. So guess where I'm spending all my time?
The coach's locker room,
going to the bathroom, okay? I'm not using another product. Absolutely not. I don't believe in it. If you need flushers, if you need automatic flushers, if you need automatic faucets, Sloan Valve, they're your guys. 4 hours and 6 minutes for me yesterday. That is not great.
What do you mean? I have 21.
Yeah, I had an off day. I was 5:35 yesterday.
Let's go. I beat Zach. And that was
a crap. I'm low, man. I'm 3:59.
Wow.
What were you doing yesterday?
We can't take anything you say seriously anymore.
I'm sorry. You want me to show you 3:59?
No, I believe you.
Yeah, I believe you. No, well, not today. It's yesterday's.
Yeah, that's today. That's it. Monday, right there.
Jan, do you have your screen time?
I don't know. How do I check? Sorry.
Go to settings.
Wait, I'm on my phone. I have to like get off this thing. The Zoom. Is there still a way to check that?
Just swipe it up. It'll pause it.
All right. Let's see it. This is gonna be pretty embarrassing. Because I read on my phone.
Yes.
No, 3 hours. 3 hours on the dot.
Is that today or yesterday?
No, that's, dude, I haven't been awake that long.
God, I was hoping that was today. That would have been unbelievable. It would have been all phone time. 3 hours. Yeah, like, that's pretty good.
Ian, guess what I'm doing next week, next Monday?
Golfing.
Playing TPC Sawgrass.
Ooh.
Whoa.
You're kind of a big deal, huh?
It's going to be sick. We got a little discount. It's going to be nice.
Jan, do you golf?
I do. I do golf. I usually save it for off season, but I'll go like a couple of times. We got actually a big trip planned to Kiwa Island right when the season ends. Going to play the ocean course. It's going to be a fun time.
Jan has some tour friends.
Really?
Ooh. Bigger ones than you, Ian?
Yeah, Jan's a big deal.
Oof.
Yeah, Jan is a big deal. 10 years.
Does that hurt you a little bit, Ian? Does that hurt a little bit?
Who's your tour friend? My tour friend just got hot this year.
Streels. Kevin Streelman.
Streelman's a tour friend. Nick Watney's a tour friend.
Joel Damon, friend of the pod.
Joel Damon, friend of the pod, tour friend. I have a couple tour friends. I have a couple guys floating around out there. Nick Hardy, tour friend. Not a big deal. I'm not going to keep name dropping all my tour friends.
Well, let me tell you guys.
Never heard of him.
We're friends. Scott Stallings is my buddy. Scott Brown, Kevin Kisner.
Oh, Kevin Kisner's your friend.
We have the same trainer.
We all
like kind of work out with the same guy. So my physique is the golfer physique.
You're built to rotate. You're built to rotate.
You guys can move.
So we get to go to a lot of tournaments. Actually, went to a Detroit tournament when they had it. I was trying to follow the big league rules, Ian. We have this issue every now and then of wearing my jeans and polo on the road. So I went to a golf tournament wearing jeans and a polo, and that's a bad deal. I was sweating profusely. So it became this big joke with me and Stallings that at every hole, he would go into like their cooler and throw waters at me. So anytime those guys come to a game, it's like a big joke. It's like our inside joke of like, I send them waters up to wherever they're sitting.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jan, thank you for joining us and being such a loyal Compound listener.
And I'm gonna have to skip.
That's all that matters.
I did listen to one of them where you guys wanted Madrigal and myself to come on. I told Ian, I will fight you if Madrigal comes on before I do.
He told us you would not enjoy that.
You know, Madrigal is a little instigator, and he would rub that in my face for a long time.
Chihuahua.
Yeah. Little guy. Stay in your lane, little guy.
Zach, I think you're bigger than Madrigal, Zach.
I think I am too, just a little bit.
Yeah, Madrigal's taking a lot of good swings. He's just he's not staying in his lane right now. He's trying to hit some homers, and it's just coming up short.
I saw a stat. He has 4 3-hit games this month, and he had 7 his whole career before this month. That's crazy. He's been raking.
He made a kick yesterday at second base with Morel throwing the play ball.
That was nasty.
Madrigal's a heck of a player. He can put the bat on the ball.
If I don't wrap this episode up, we're going to keep going.
Yep.
And then Tom's going to yell at me. It's episode 125 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. I love Parse. You love Parse. When I say Parse, you say Rum. Parse.
Rum.
Rum.
See you next week.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.